particular case 7945. It's an application of Eagle for order granting an area permit for underground injection of fluids into the unitized formation of the Mohall Madison unit in Renfro and Botten counties. All parties interested, please come forward.
Mr. Examiner, Lawrence Bender, P.O. Box 400, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing in this matter, case 7945, on behalf of Eagle Operating, Inc. We're going to have one witness.
The witness raises his right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth in this case?
I do.
Thank you.
Mr. Examiner, as I indicated, we're going to have one witness in this matter who's ready to be sworn.
We sworn already.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Mr. Examiner, just very briefly, as you've indicated, this a request for an area permit for the Mohall Madison unit. The purpose for our request here today is to attempt to streamline the process of having injection wells approved by the Industrial Commission. We're hoping that it will streamline it both for the applicant as well as the Industrial Commission. With that in mind, Greg, would you state your name for the record, please, and spell your last name?
Greg Steiner, S-T-E-I-N-E-R.
And Greg, by whom are you employed and in what capacity?
Eagle Operating, Kenmare, North Dakota, drilling and production supervisor.
Greg, have you had an opportunity to testify before this commission on previous occasions?
No.
Okay. Could you then briefly highlight for the examiner your educational background and work experience?
I attended North Dakota State University in Fargo, 4 years in earth science. Since 1981, I have worked in various regulatory exploration and production capacities. The most recent is for Eagle Operating for approximately 3 years in regulatory compliance, production, and drilling supervision.
And Greg, in preparation for today's hearing, have you made a thorough study and review of all the relevant matters concerning Eagle's application for an area permit for the Mohall Madison unit?
Yes, I have.
And have you prepared or have prepared under your control and supervision certain exhibits that you intend to sponsor?
Yes.
Have you satisfied yourself as to the accuracy of those exhibits?
Yes.
I'd offer the further testimony this witness is that of an expert.
In what field?
Fluid injection permitting.
Okay.
Is it approved?
Yes.
Okay. Greg, let's turn to the packet of exhibits. Let's go to Exhibit 1, Greg, and what I'd like you to do is identify Exhibit 1 and then briefly highlight what's contained upon it.
Exhibit 1 is a map of the North Dakota part of the Williston Basin, and it shows the approximate area in the Williston Basin of Eagle Operating's Mohall Madison unit.
Well, let's go to Exhibit 2. Can you tell me what that is, Greg?
Yes, this is an area map of the Mohall field and a couple of the outlying fields.
All right, and Exhibit 3, can you tell me what that is?
Exhibit 3 is the Mohall Madison unit outline, and it also shows the different tracks within the unit.
And when was the Mohall Madison unit approved by the Industrial Commission, the effective date?
Effective date was November 1st, 2002.
Let's go on then to Exhibit 4, and when you're discussing Exhibit 4, I'd like you to also discuss what's contained on the tab of Exhibit 4.
Okay. Exhibit 4 involves the NDAC code, the number listed 4302-0504, and some of the things in that rule, this would be Section A, C, D, E, and F, primarily describing injection intervals and rates and pressures and freshwater zones. The first part of it just deals with the proposed injection interval, and it describes the confining zones, both the overlying and underlying confining zones, and then it deals with the fracture pressures and the gradient we used and how we arrived at it, and then what the maximum and minimum injection pressures will be, and also describes the lowest known freshwater zone that we'll be trying to protect.
When you were mentioning what's included in Exhibit 4, you said it includes the information that's required by 4302-0504, A, C, D, E, and F. It also includes G, does it not?
Yes, G also.
All right. Let's go then to the next exhibit and start again with the tab of Exhibit 5. Can you tell me what's contained in that particular exhibit?
It's the same rule that we discussed previously. This would be Section I, and it is a map showing the area of review, and since this is an area permit, it's basically the whole field with a quarter mile buffer zone around it.
Okay, and let's go to Exhibit 6, and as you've done with the previous exhibit, tell us what the tab is and then what's contained in it.
Yes. Exhibit 6 is, again, Rule 4302-0504. This would be Section J. It's a tabulation of 39 wells within that area of review. It shows either the completion or the plugging of the well.
All right, and I don't want you to go through each one of those, so let's then go to the next exhibit, Exhibit 7. Can you tell us what Exhibit 7 is and which rule it's referenced?
Yes, Exhibit 7 is, again, NDAC Rule 4302-0504, Section L. It also covers Section S under that rule. It describes the wells that we propose to convert to injection, how the injection program will be run as far as taking care of the water chemically or physically, a brief description of the tank battery and wellhead construction, and it also covers just a schematic drawing of it.
All right, and Exhibit 8?
Exhibit 8, again, is the same rule. Sections M and N, it's just the water analysis from a state-approved laboratory for both the injection of water and the nearest freshwater zones. One statement I might make about the freshwater, in this field, there's some old surface wells in the area that are no longer used. There's very few of the farmsteads that are active, and very few of them have active wells. The water for personal use in the area primarily comes from a rural water system that's piped into the area.
Let's go then to Exhibit 9. Greg, can you tell me what Exhibit 9 is?
Exhibit 9, again, is Rule 4302-0504. This would be Section O. It lists every well in the field that is producing or will become a source well that could be used as a source of injection fluid.
Okay, and Exhibit 10.
Exhibit 10, again, is the same rule, Section P. That's a land ownership plat of the Mohall unit. Just briefly lists the person that owns the land. And again, this was used to conduct our notification of everybody involved so that they had proper notification that this application was being filed.
And finally, Exhibit 11. Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah. Exhibit 11 is, again, Rule 4302-0504, Section Q. It's the affidavit of mailing that says
We have notified all the landowners in the area that we are applying for an area permit for underground injection.
And that particular exhibit, Exhibit 11, also includes a copy of the letter that was forwarded to each one of these owners. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, Greg, you've gone through this packet of exhibits and explained to the commission staff the various subsections under 4302 or 504 that have been met by the filing of this. Can you tell me when it's time to convert individual wells to injection, what additional items would have to be submitted to the commission after an area permit is approved?
Yes, basically it would be any of the numbers that were not covered in this exhibit or any of the letters under that rule 4302.0504, such as the surface and bottom hole location in existing casing, tubing data, corrective action, schematics, sundry notices. It would basically include the Form 14 application for injection, schematics of the well bore, or anything in the area of review next to that well bore, and any need of corrective action, and then a Form 4 describing how we're going to complete the well for injection.
Well, Greg, prior to the start of this hearing, I mentioned that the purpose for Eagle filing this particular application was to hopefully streamline the application process for Eagle and hopefully streamline the approval process that the commission would render in these decisions. Can you briefly describe for us, in your opinion, how that'll help?
Well, there's a lot of the things under this rule that for every well in the unit, such as the sources of injected fluid and the type of battery you're going to set up for injection, those would be the same on every application, as would the land plat for area of notification. Basically, we could file those once, and they would hold true for the whole area, and we could be more specific on our subsequent applications and just deal with the mechanical aspects of the well bore, as like a Form 14 and a Form 4. And also, it gives us some flexibility to change the way we're going to go without having to go through the whole notification process and wait on a mailing and then the time period for landowners to reply to anything. It would just streamline the process as far as being able to get the data needed to the commission and have them make a decision without all of the waiting periods if we decide to either drill a injection well or change to a different well bore to convert to injection. Usually that happens because of mechanical problems in one of the well bores you already had permitted.
And in terms of ease and less work for the Industrial Commission, once the area-wide permit is approved, all of the items that are submitted as Exhibits 1 through 11 really wouldn't have to be looked at again by the commission or the commission staff. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's all the questions I have for Mr. Steiner at this time. We would offer Exhibits 1 through 11 in case number 7945.
Exhibits received. Any questions for Greg?
Greg, I've got just one question. What would be the average weight of the water that you would be injecting?
There would be about 9.7. 9.6, 9.7.
Is that the weight of your water, produced water?
Yes, about 9.7.
Okay. And you also indicated that you're going to be injecting some Dakota water?
Yes.
Do you know the approximate volumes?
That will
volumes?
Be, pardon?
Do you know the approximate volumes or amounts, percentages?
The Dakota water probably won't come for quite a ways down the line until we get sufficient injectors converted to where the produced water in the field isn't enough. We'd have to permit that well, go through that whole process, which we haven't done yet.
Is there a well in the field that you would convert to Dakota,
yep.
For
yep.
instance, an
yes,
old
it,
disposal
it would be,
well?
It would be the... it's listed on the exhibit number 7. exhibit number eight, nine, yeah, exhibit number nine is the George Whitman number one, which is currently a saltwater disposal well. We would convert that to a Dakota water source well. We're going to try and stay with production water at the beginning until we need the extra makeup water, because other units in the area have experienced a fair amount of difficulty turning saltwater disposal wells around and having the fluid being clean enough. It takes quite a bit more filtering, and plus the commingling of the two hasn't worked well, so you have to keep the Dakota water going to certain wells and then the produced Madison water going to other wells, and it involves different piping systems and different batteries.
You had indicated that most of the water use, the fresh water use in this area, is a rural water system. Do you know what their source is?
No, I do not.
But the if there is a source well in the area, it's not within your area of review.
It's not within the area of review.
You only submitted three fresh water analysis. Are these all three, are these the only wells that you could find within the area of review?
They're not the only wells that are there. They're the only wells that still have electricity to them. That one case, it was a dugout, so it's a very shallow surface well. We just went and bailed some out of that. The others, some of the other wells that I assume are in area, because I can see wellheads on the farmsteads, but there's no electricity to them. The wellheads are abandoned.
Would it be fairly burdensome to require a sample of those?
Without electricity to them, it would be quite hard to get a sample. If the well bore didn't have any type of pump system in it, you know, where you could drop some sort of bailing system down and catch a sample, that wouldn't be much. But if it still has any tubing in a cased well, it would be just about impossible without pulling that tubing or hooking up electricity to get a sample.
Thank you.
Greg, along those lines, do you know or did you research whether there are any analysis that have been run on any of those wells?
On any of the older freshwater wells?
Ones without electricity?
Yeah, I've looked through other well files looking for them, and I've looked in the area with different people that still live in the area, and I can't find any analysis. Because most of those people, have moved out of the country, died, things like that. They're quite old wells.
On exhibit number 10, there are some tracks that it doesn't appear they, or at least to me, it's not readily identifiable who the surface owner is. For instance, in the northeast of section 25, the southwest or southwest half of the southwest of section 6. Do you know who those surface owners are?
The south, could you repeat?
The west half of the southwest of section 6, there's a small tract that's identified, but that other acreage around that small tract.
The unit boundary kind of obscures what's really there. That Gail Clifford Hutton, that kind of odd-shaped part of the whole, well, it's a little 320 there, is there's actually no boundary there.
Okay. So Gail Clifford Hutton owns everything that the USA and small landowner Pete doesn't own?
Yes.
How about in the, is that the same thing in the northeast of 25? Is that the Stacy Crooks estate?
Yes.
Okay. And then in exhibit 11, there were some landowners that were identified with address unknown. What can you tell me about those?
What page?
one on the second page is...
Yeah. Well, most of those are ones where we have gone to the county and gotten an address and sent mailings out to an old address, and then they come back. We don't, can't find them, except for Ed McGillset. I know we have an address for her. Or a lot of them, what will, in those cases, we go to the nearest relative and that's still living in the area and tell them we're looking for them and give them a packet if they can forward it to them.
Were all these mailings sent out return receipt?
Yes, they were. Well, on the, did you return receipt on, no, just for the unit agreement, but not for the injection wells.
Okay. Did you get any correspondence back from any of these people that you sent this notice to?
No written correspondence. I have had roughly a half a dozen phone calls.
And were there any objections in those phone calls?
No. The phone calls that I got were several of the people just asked why we sent it to them, and I said because we're required to do it. And a couple of the people from out of state just called to see how it affected the area environmentally. They wanted to know why they got the packet, and I just explained to them that because we're injecting fluid into a well bore, we have to, by statute, we have to make sure we have protection for the freshwater zones, and that sufficed for them.
Okay.